Go love like Jesus. It's one thing to ask the question, what would Jesus do? What will Jesus do? It's another thing to actually do more than just wear a bracelet, but to go and live like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus, to love like Jesus. Paul says to the church in Philippi, have this mind, this attitude, this heart among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. You don't have to go out and purchase the mind of Christ. You don't have to go out and work for the mind of Christ. You've already got it, Paul says. And so you can employ it, exercise it, use it in service to others for the praise of God. How many of you remember the 1990s when people were wearing those bracelets? Did you wear one yourself? Yes. And I remember people saying that maybe instead of just wearing an accessory, we should actually start applying the teaching. That we should not only ask the question, but in the name of Jesus, live the answer as well. Go love like Jesus. During World War II, there was an Allied group of airplanes that had gone on a mission, and they were returning to England, and they had encountered lots of shells that were fired at them, these anti-aircraft shells, and there were several within this plane that hadn't exploded. When they finally landed at their base, they got off the plane quickly, and others came on to carefully take those shells away and figure out why it had penetrated the planes, but none of them had exploded. And they found out that all of those shells were missing the firing pins. And in the place of the firing pins, there was a note written in Czech from those slave laborers at the German munitions factory. We wish we could do more. This is all we can do. Go love like Jesus with the gifts that God has given you. No matter what kind of warfare may be going on, count others better than yourself. Do not pursue conceit and selfish ambition, but always seek the interest of others and not simply your own advantage or gain. St. Paul, while imprisoned, writes his epistle of joy to the Philippian congregation. And St. Paul begins chapter 2 with these words, if there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is, if there is any love and comfort thereof, and there is, if there is any koinonia or fellowship in the Holy Spirit, and there is, this participation, complete my joy, Paul says, by being of one mind, the same love, and in full accord with one another. Do not pursue your own ambitions or your own self-interest, but pursue the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. Go love like Jesus. WWJD, wear the bracelet, ask the question, and during Holy Week, God will give you the answer of what your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will indeed, has indeed done and does for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and for victory over the grave, the hope of everlasting life, the gift of reconciliation with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of God's Son, Jesus. Go love like Jesus. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been looking at faith practices, faith exercises, marks of discipleship. Faith works. It doesn't just sit on the sidelines, and it doesn't just cheer. It actually participates in the love of Christ and in the distribution of service to the world. And throughout the season of Lent, we looked at faith practices like weekly worship, like praying without ceasing, like sharing the good news with others and keeping company with the Word of God. Faith practices. Tonight, I want you to think about the faith practice of service and how Jesus humbled himself and bore our shame, the curse of the cross, so that he could redeem us, and how he gives us in baptism his servant towel and the commission to go and love like him, to be imitators of Christ, Paul says, as he is. Or in the words of St. Peter, to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, giving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In the 1400s, imitatio Christi. In the 1800s, in his steps. But all rooted in the scriptures when St. Peter said, this is our calling from Christ, to walk in his steps and to be for others the way he has been and is always for us. To be a servant in the manner of Christ. Go, love like Jesus. What does that look like? As we shared with the children, it means that it's not the same way that the world operates. Do you remember that three times Jesus announced his impending passion, his death, and the gift of the third day? And every time he predicted his passion, his death, the disciples didn't understand. They were confused, and instead of asking the necessary questions or embracing the gift that Jesus was giving them, they became competitive, selfish ambition and conceit, trying to get to the front of the line, trying to lord it over others. James and John, for example, came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we've got a request. Will you, in your kingdom glory, allow us to sit on your right and left-hand side? And Jesus said, do you know what you're asking? Are you able to drink my cup? Are you able to be baptized with my baptism? And they said, yes. He said, well, you will drink my cup, and you will be baptized with my baptism, but to sit on my right or my left, that's determined by the will of the Father. And then the other 10 disciples, they became indignant, maybe angry because they hadn't thought about asking first. And they started bickering and fighting, and they had earlier been arguing on the way about who was the greatest, and Jesus says, you want to be first? You want to be the greatest? The first must be last of all, and the greatest is the one who is servant of all, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gentiles, the people of this world, they love to lord it over one another. It shall not be so amongst you. At Christmas time, a teenager got a shirt. The shirt simply says on the front, it's all about me. And on the back, deal with it. That's the motto of our culture. That's what you would see or hear politicians wearing or speaking. It's all about me. Deal with it. But what would Jesus do? St. Paul says that Jesus has a different mode of operandum. That even though he was in the form of God, true God of true God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped or exploited for his own advantage. He emptied himself. He poured himself out. He became obedient. He humbled himself and became a servant, going to the cross to bear our sins and to set us free. Have this mind among yourselves, Paul says, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. In Christ, that's code language in the Bible, you know, for in Christ, Christian, Christ in. It's baptismal language. In baptism, Christ is in you and you are in Christ. And so he wants to live his love and his service to the world through you. As you love others in the name of Jesus, your Lord. It's a different way of being. At the time of Martin Luther, late 1400s, early 1500s, in a village by Nuremberg, Germany, there lived a man who had a dream. Albrecht Dürer. Albrecht was one of 18 children, and he had a dream of being an artist and going to the academy in Nuremberg. But with 18 kids in the family, in the late 1400s, early 1500s, probably not ever going to happen. And he had a good friend, Franz Nigstein. They were best friends. They were both devout followers of Jesus. And Franz wanted to be an artist too. And Franz wanted to go to the academy in Nuremberg. But they could find no one that would pay their way, that would make the sacrifice on their behalf. So they finally decided upon a plan. One would go to the art school for 4 years, and the other would go and work in the dangerous coal mines and provide the resources financially. After church one Sunday morning, they flipped the coin. Franz lost. Albrecht won the toss. So Franz went into the dangerous coal mines, and Albrecht went to the academy, and he excelled. He thrived. He surpassed his teachers for the most part. Simply amazing. Watercolors and sculptures and sketches and how God had gifted him. And it wasn't long during the course of the 4 years before he was gaining income and being commissioned to produce art. What did he do about his best friend, Franz? Did he forget him? Was he thankful for the sacrifices that were made? At the end of the 4 years, when he graduated from the academy, he went back to his small village outside Nuremberg, and he and his family hosted a feast. And the guest of honor was Franz. Franz sat at the head of one of the table, and Albrecht was at the other. And at the appropriate time of the meal, it came time for a toast. And it was Albrecht who said, "This is to thank my dear best friend, Franz, for the sacrifices he has made. And now I've graduated, and now I have the resources. Now it's your turn, Franz, to go to the academy and to live the dream that God has given you and the calling he's given you." And Franz began to weep, and tears were flowing down his eyes, from his eyes, and he stood up and he said, "No, no, no, no. I can't." As he tried to hold the glass of wine to participate in the toast that was being made, he couldn't even do that. He said, "Look at my hands. In 4 years, every single one of my fingers have been crushed repeatedly. I can't hold a brush or a pencil or anything anymore. It's too late. 500 years later, people know about Albrecht Dürer. I mean, his sketches and watercolors and sculptures, all this stuff, in all the famous museums throughout the world. But probably the one that most of you will remember is the one that I've grown up seeing and remembering. He made a painting as a tribute to his dear friend Franz. Hans. That's what he called them, Hans. But then it was renamed Praying Hands. Do you know what the hands of your Lord has done for you? As they were stretched out on the cross for you? That's what love does. It sacrifices and it serves. Jesus put a towel around his waist and he washed the feet of his disciples and he gave them a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. He looked at his disciples after he had washed their feet and he said, "Do you understand what I've done? You call me master, Lord, teacher, and I am. I am. If I then have washed your feet, I've given you an example to follow." Imitation, discipleship, the marks of our calling and commission, faith practices. But remember the dictum of Martin Luther. It is not imitation that makes us sons. It is God's gift of sonship that produces imitators, vessels of Christ with the treasure of Jesus, so that we can go and love like Jesus. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, Paul says, this one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. God has exalted him so that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In an airport, some businessmen were running through the concourse. They were late, and as they were tearing down the concourse, trying to get to the gate in time before the plane took off, they ran into a young lady who was selling apples. They knocked her over. The apples went scattering in all different directions. They didn't even notice that she was blind. But they were in a hurry to get to the gate, to get on the plane. They got to the gate just in time. They were the last people to get on the plane. And one of the businessmen said, "I've got to go back. What we did was wrong. We ran into this young lady. We knocked her down. Maybe she's not okay. We sent her fruit flying all over the place." And the rest looked at him and said, "Are you nuts? The plane's taking off." He said, "I'll catch another flight. What we did was wrong. I need to go back and check on her." And he did. He went back, and here she was, aimlessly trying to find those apples and the fruit and put them back onto her cart. He said, "Let me help you." And then he began to apologize and to say that he was sorry for what they had done. And after they got everything picked up, he noticed a bunch of the apples were bruised. So he took his wallet out and he said, "Here, I'm going to buy some of this fruit that we bruised. And I only hope that you can forgive me." And you know what this blind young lady said to him? Before he left, she said, "Mister, are you Jesus? Mister, are you Jesus?" have this mind, not just cognitive thought, have this mind, this attitude, this heart, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. Live your baptism. Go. Love like Jesus. WWJD, it's a good question. It's a fun bracelet to wear. And if you want to know the answer, then walk with Jesus during Holy Week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able.